With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello everybody and welcome to this very, very special end of season party of the MPL show, sponsored by the wonderful people at EvoStick. You join us here in celebratory mood at the Heat and Hops, the award-winning Heat and Hops, for the final show of the 2018-19 season.
I think it's yay!
Well,
more on that in a second, and how flat it actually feels at this part. But round the table, hoping to inject some life into proceedings, Andrew Simpson's here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Good evening, I've brought life.
Berkey's here from 26-0.
Well, I'm
also
on a diet.
Bringing life?
Well, on a diet, so no. I'm down and all.
Moody.
Yeah, I'm grumpy. Yeah, I'm just thinking about me tea tomorrow.
Speaking of being a bit grumpy with all the pressures of social media in the non-league world, James Hayes is here. And down the other end of the phone now, live from the Dynamo Bar in Belgium, in the European Union no less, sat next to Nigel Farage probably, having a little tipple, it's Swampair.
Where's the Eurovision?
Bonsoir, everybody, bonsoir.
Hello.
As Rodney might sell to Del Boy, bonsoir.
Good. Anyway, welcome, Swampy. We'll come back to you in a second. But it does feel... Thank you. That is the end of the season. Obviously, Farsley's gone up.
Well done, Farsley.
But they're the only ones.
Oh.
I know. It's...
How flat does it all feel, Berkey, at the moment, unless you're a Radcliffe fan? Shut up, James.
Well, this is the thing, Ben. We all knew the rules at the start of the season, and we knew that this would be a possibility. It's come to pass. I mean, I think it's very unfortunate for Warrington. I think it's unfortunate as well for South Shields, who finished second. I do think the top two should go up regardless. But, hey, there you go. That's
what, not have a playoff?
No, the top two should go up, and a third team should go up for the playoffs. I think they should make loads of teams come down from the National League now. I do. I really do. They're being rewarded for mediocrity, basically. And I think, basically, if you take the top three or four from any division and replace them with the bottom four from another division, you're going to get stronger and stronger as the leagues go up. So I just think the more promotion relegation there is, the better it is for everybody, apart from the teams who get relegated.
But that's not been the case this year, and we're left with arguably the strongest playoff teams not to go up ever, with South Shields and Warrington.
Yeah, that's probably a fair shout, that, isn't it? I mean, can you even begin to imagine what it must feel like for Warrington? Because I can't.
Yeah, now on the day.
James, you were there on the day.
Yeah, describe the scene, the mood even.
Well, obviously to the 70th minute, the party atmosphere for the Warrington fans, and they were right into it and getting ready to go up, but then they gave away a penalty to bring Kingsley back into the game. And to be honest, I think that's the moment the game changed and Kingsley saw the opportunity. And what took it was right on the extra, took it to extra time. Knew Warrington were getting quiet, and then late on, playing it into their own hands. And the atmosphere after the match was one of them. You knew straight away what was happening. Kingsland fans just left, and all you could hear was silence.
I mean, commiseration to Warrington Swampy, obviously, but Kingsland. I mean, it works the other way as well. The Central League had Kingsland. It had Stourbridge. They're big clubs as well, aren't they? I mean, it's ridiculous that we got to this stage where everyone's been funnelled this way.
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, we look to our divisions first and foremost and think of them as probably being the strongest divisions at this standard of football. But there are a number of teams that are probably on an equal par with the Northern Premier teams. And I think the two teams you've mentioned there that have both actually been in the Northern Premier division actually are the strong teams. But It's a bitter pill to swallow, really, for the likes of Warrington, who overcame South Shields, did tremendously well, and then were beaten. But as we say, we didn't like the rules anyway of at the beginning of the season. But everyone knew about them, unfortunately. Everyone forgot about them, and then they started to remember about them towards the end of the season.
Oh, yes.
it's hopefully an end to the nonsense that we've actually seen. You know, as far as Farsley are concerned, they were deserved champions. South Shields, everyone expected to be champions, so it just shows how the good quality and resilience of Farsley have been all season. You know, they've worked very, very hard. And let's not forget, they've actually scored the second most goals in the league as well. So they've not been playing dour football. They've been scoring lots of goals. They've got a great against record as well. And they're champions for a reason. South Shields and Warrington will feel very aggrieved, I know. But that's the way it goes, unfortunately. And, you know, congratulations to Kings Lynn. They're a club that obviously have got a lovely ground. And they've got ideas of moving forward in the football pyramid. And that was a big, big step. I don't think anyone expected Warrington to be beaten by them, in all fairness. But again, it just shows that in one-off games, sometimes it's like a cup final. You've got an underdog that might go out there and win, and that's exactly what they did.
It was a cup final,
pretty much.
Well,
it really was.
It was indeed. The one thing I think the league need to look at, though, if in future this happens, let's say Buxton had actually been promoted this season with 66 points, and I think Berkey alluded to this.
It's a travesty.
In many ways, they should go to a European way of doing things. I think Italy have a point tally.
Swampert, there's a young Aaron Flanagan somewhere listening to this going, nothing changes. Let's move away from talking points from Series 1 of the MPL show.
He's not that young anymore.
No, but he still wears a chicken outfit. Berkey, you had a point to make?
Yeah, Swampy's saying that Farsley would deserve champions because they scored the second highest amount of goals. Well, everything about them this season was second best. They had the second highest goal tally. They conceded the second fewest amount of goals. They had the second best goal difference. The only thing where they actually came out on top, and the one where it ultimately matters, of course, is the points tally. They finished 3 points ahead of South Shields, and they are. But it's interesting. I assume it comes down to their game management and the way that they've seen games out throughout the season. And they've just not really taken their eye off the ball the entire campaign. And yeah, hats off to them.
They won most games, though. 28 wins.
Yeah, but you know, that ruins me pint.
Can Warrington, without being too dramatic, can they bounce back from this?
It's a good point, because it's a very unusual situation, yeah. This.
Unprecedented.
This was discussed ages ago in our season preview, or many moons ago. This isn't going to happen again, though, James.
No, I just need to point out as well, it did happen in 2004-05 when the National League, the Conference North and South games, where they only had three coming down from the Conference, and they had to have a super playoff between the North and the South champions.
Yeah. Mentioned Warrington, we could throw South Shields into this. Both teams would have been worthy champions this season. They didn't. Can they bounce back? Firstly, can Warrington bounce back from this?
I think they can. But I think, you know, obviously, let's assume that Paul Carden does stay. I mean, I've done a piece today, kind of looking over the season, and you know, Warrington have actually improved on most measures with a slightly smaller budget than last season, and after losing their best players last summer. Don't forget, you know, Liam Goulding left, Sean Williams left. You know, Carden had to almost rebuild the team completely. They've got a much better points per game average. You know, everything, they've improved in so many ways, and it's still not been enough. So they've had two outstanding seasons, finished third twice. It's kind of like, how deep do you now have to dig to go again, to use that horrible football cliche? And this is where I'm a little bit concerned for them, because they will be so kind of damaged by just falling short. Like, say, any other season, they would have been promoted. And it's kind of like, it's going to be really fascinating to see how they respond over the summer in terms of transfers, but then also at the start of next season.
Well, if they do have, what's the right word for it? An unintended clear out, I suppose, the bigger clubs coming in for the better players.
Which you think will happen again?
Well, exactly. It means they've got a chance to wipe the slate clean pretty much again.
Yes, yeah, so they're not scared.
And exactly, those players won't have the baggage of this hanging over them.
I mean, a big commiseration to Warrington. Have I said that already?
Several times.
I just can't get over it. But Swampy, I'll come to you for South Shields, because this is their first bump in the road for a long time.
Well, when you say bump in the road,
a failure to get promoted. How's that?
that's a bit cruel. That's a bit harsh and cruel there. But
that's why I said bump in the road. Oh, for goodness' sake!
Yeah. I think for them as a football club, the expectation when they started to perform and starting out of the Northern League was one of, we can take this as far as we want to take it. Listen, they've done superbly well. They've got a plan and a process that they want to implement. Now, South Shields, I think this will make them stronger, because if you're just getting success after success after success, sometimes the best thing can happen is not actually getting it all so quickly. It gives them an idea to reassess, to think about moving forward again. And they're going to be very, very strong for next season. There's no question about it. And just going back to just what the guys were saying with Warrington, I think Carden, as a manager, has been there for a number of seasons now. It's unfinished business now for him. He wants to still get that club promoted. I can only see him going either A, to a bigger club in a higher division, or staying where he is. And I think he'll probably stay. I think they'll strengthen. They're looking at players currently, and they'll come strong again.
No, well, actually, that kind of neatly comes on to the point I was just going to make, in that he's probably, they won't agree with this, obviously, but it's probably quite a healthy thing that South Shields haven't run away with it, haven't run away with the title again. Kind of reinforces a lot of the things that we like to believe, or that we believe in, that this is a really strong division. And so they should have to work really hard to get out of it. And there are actually going to be multiple rivals for them to try and win the league. So I think it's a good thing that, in kind of the bigger picture, in the wider context of what we think about the league, that they haven't just come up and then robbed away with it.
Shall we talk about the other two teams who didn't get out of the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Nantwich Town, who were in the playoffs, I think, the longest out of any. I think they were in the playoffs in July, in all fairness.
They must have had the title racing until the last couple of weeks of the season as well, realistically speaking.
Well, February, and then they faded off, didn't
they? I'd say March.
March really. Well, take March. But Nantwich Town, brilliant.
I think you can
but
make...
can they do that same thing again?
Well, that's a big ask. I think you can make a case that Dave Cook's manager of the year for me. Certainly he's got to be right in the conversation. They're one of the clubs that made the biggest year-on-year improvement. Mm-hmm. They finished in 15th place last year, so they've climbed up to 4th this time around. They only scored 57 points last season. They've improved on every single measure. And what I really like about how Nantwich have done it is they've done it with a young, exciting team, plays good football. They've also done it by defying expectation, because none of us thought they would go and have the season that they've had. So absolutely fantastic. You're right, that's set a very high bar now, and it's going to be an even tougher league next season. We'll come on to later with teams coming up and the teams that are coming down. But it should be acknowledged what a fantastic, fantastic job Dave's done.
Will they have the resources, though, to strengthen in the same way that we expect South Shields to?
No.
Exactly.
Do they need to, though, with Dave Cook in charge? And
the
talent
pool that's
available to them?
Will they keep those jewels, though? That's the challenge. Will they keep those young players?
What about Buxton?
Thing is, you look at how teams have performed towards the end of a season as an indicator as to how they're going to do for the following campaign. And Buxton finished this season an absolute train. They really did. And they're thinking of opening the second station in Buxton again, so that's quite a...
what, they want to Matlock?
Yeah.
You're joking.
Do you think
how glorious
about,
is that? That means I can get me two holiday homes joined together by public transport. Brilliant.
It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? So you've got to have Buxton in there with a shout. They don't have the best players, but they've got that team spirit. And that gets you so many points through a season. They've got leaders there, they really are.
Let's not forget, again, during the playoffs, they actually led both semi-finals, Nantwich and Buxton. So they weren't to be ignored the entirety of the time.
Yeah, there is that. What about the teams who just finished outside the playoffs? There's going to be a lot of unfinished business. One of the teams in particular, come to you, Swampy, for this bit, Gainsborough Trinity. They basically wanted to mirror what Altrincham did, and it didn't really happen for them, did it?
They made a choice and made a decision, and they've got to back that decision now. And I think they've done well in the division they've been in, and I think they've got to have another season with a similar type of similar players in there. They won't change a great deal, and I think they have got an opportunity to really do well in the season next season.
They've made a big statement of intent by signing Gav Allett already.
Mm-hmm. And
also they've been putting out bits over the past 10 days so about key players that have committed for next season. I mean, they do go into the summer on slightly more optimistic notes. Liam King did make a big impact, didn't he, when he came in, and he seems to have kind of persuaded those key players, those big players there. They're keeping Worsfold as well, who had a good season for them. So I think you're right, though. I think they have to be better. There's some investment in that team.
I was impressed with Liam King.
when
yeah,
I liked
him. I liked his interviews.
They've got a 20-point gap to make up, though, to finish in the top three.
Yeah.
I mean, we are running out of spots here. We keep saying, oh, they'll do well next season.
I'm not sure. I'm not convinced they'll do that much better than they did last season, really. They're a team that's never been promoted in the history, and I think it's going to be more of the same next year.
Okie dokie. What about Basford? Who wants to come in on Basford?
Well, they're another side, I think, who are starting to make noises that they think they're going to keep together largely the group that they had this season. Obviously, huge managerial appointment to bring in Steve Chettle. They've got high hopes for him, and I think they're giving him a 5-year contract, haven't they? So it gives you an idea that that's the faith they've put in him.
A 5-year contract?
Yeah, and also quickly they've signed his son, who has played at this level previously and was outstanding at this level. They're an ambitious club. They sacked their manager this season, and they were just outside the playoffs.
Seventh, weren't they?
Playing at the highest level in the club's history. That's how ruthless they are. So they're setting their stall out and saying, listen, we're serious. We not need to get promoted, but we absolutely need to be closer than to the top than we were, which is a big statement in itself.
I suppose I should come to you, Berkey, for this next side. Scarborough.
Well, got a lot of ground to make up, haven't they? They really, really have.
Let's be honest, they've only made a statement for next year. Seven signings already.
Seven of... blimey, that one's evading me. I know the players that they've kept on.
Sorry to sideline everyone. Sorry to interrupt you there, Berkey, but just to talk about these May signing announcements. I think it's a relatively new thing, this.
It is. It's getting early. People are going to start announcing signings for next season in April.
This is the way, isn't it? It's to get people excited, and you've got to do it as quickly as possible.
Ben, in all fairness, from an FC United,
I wasn't naming names.
Yeah,
let's have it right.
from an FC United perspective, it had to be done because the manager actually got rid of the entire squad the last game of the season. He knew the players that he wanted it to come in. FC have done it for a reason, and we've just been talking about teams that have had players and squads that have been there 3 and 4 years and been successful. And I think that's what FC United have had to do this season. They've looked at the players that they've had in the past. Neil Reynolds, as you know, and you all know him well, and you know the kind of teams he builds, and he has teams with longevity. He doesn't chop and change hugely. So he's brought a team in there at the moment where there's going to be an additional maybe 4, 5, 6 players coming in on top of the players he's already brought in. And he's looking to mould a team for 2 to 3 to 4 seasons that play in his style of football. You're right, Berkey, there will be players that come and go. There's no question about it. But the players that he's brought in are specifically because they're the kind of calibre of player he believes that understand the ethos of the football club, want to play for the football club, aren't motivated by the one thing that we all despise, money in football.
Is this a welcome thing? Because all the fans now know, you could get excited because you've got X, Y, and Z
I think it depends on... We were talking about this at the office this week for quite a while, actually.
I love a good insight into a newsroom.
Yeah, we were...
President's men.
We were discussing this for quite a long time. And I think it depends on club circumstances. Look, FC United need to generate...
That was good.
Thank you. I felt it should be acknowledged. Sorry. What was the point? Oh yeah, right. This is actually God of the Two. We did.
When you were talking to Ben Bradley, what did he say?
We talked this for quite some time, and the conclusion was: I think it depends on the club's circumstances. FC United, they need to generate some feel good. They probably need to generate some season ticket sales. Let's have it right. So there is a kind of method to the madness, if you like, in that there is a reason they're putting it out. I think Tommy makes a good point, actually. There's probably a little bit of a sending a message to everybody else as well. Scarborough's exactly the same, isn't it? Disappointing season, let's have it right. New manager's come in. He didn't come in after the season finished. John Deasy's been there a little while, but he wants to put his mark on it. He wants to try and kind of lift the mood, start to build optimism towards next season. So, again, there's kind of a logic for Scarborough to do it. But I wonder if it is driven by fans, though. I don't think there's media ringing the clubs up or putting pressure on them to make these announcements. I think it is coming from...
Arguably the two most important signings that Scarborough made, though, were Tommy Taylor and James Walsh.
You were already there?
Yeah.
You were already there. And so, I don't know. I think it does depend on individual context, and that's quite a boring answer. But I think, the season doesn't start till the middle of August. And Berkey's quite right. We've all followed Lonley for long enough now. Some of these lads will change clubs about 3 times before the first game of the season's played. And this is where it is a little bit of a risk for clubs to put out this flood of announcements. And you know what players are like? Players are fickle. Let's have it right, and they'll just move. They don't care. They don't care if they've been listed, tweeted about, shown with a scarf, and all this. They don't care. From an administrative point of view, as I'm sure Tigo is about to say, it's also meaningless to make
because they're not actually signed, are they?
No, contracts don't start until the 1st of July.
I mean, no, it's interesting anyway, isn't it? But it's something to get excited about.
Are you excited?
No, I'm not.
Are you excited by the flurry of an album?
Just before we end part one, we've talked about FC United. We might as well talk about Ashton United as well and what we should.
Welcome back.
We be expecting. I mean, they perform miracles getting out of this division. I think that's.
I don't think they did perform miracles. I think they performed really, really well. They did.
They were right up against it, weren't they? Because they had their best players, or most of their best players taken from them. So Jody already got it all on going into a higher level, and then has got to find replacements for those guys.
Which was really difficult to do because people knew they were coming onto a sinking ship, basically, and people were not willing to go to Ashton United last season. They'd rather go to a team a division below, let's say Warrington or Nantwich, who were performing well. Because you want to be in a team which is doing well rather than a team that's getting beaten every week or near enough, you know. I think, but I do think Ashton will pick up where they left off from when they were last in the division.
Well, again, we'll be back in the block next year as well. Two new guys are coming straight out. I've already made ambitions. 3G pitches going down.
Just a final thought from you then, Swampy. Obviously, Ashton United and SC United making the journey to the Northern Premier League for next season. And only Altrincham have really made a good stab of bouncing back.
What's FC United's ambition going to be? Is it going to be we?
Don't ask me. I'm an independent journalist.
Sorry, Swampy. What's the ambition going to be for FC United next season?
I want to go back just to Ashton for a moment.
That was a very politician's response. I'll answer the question I want to answer.
I'm going to answer
the question, but we were talking about Ashton United. I don't want to say Bannon has got new directors in there now. They've said to them that there will be money available and there will be an opportunity for them to prosper in the division.
Yeah.
I think the big thing we're talking about players. Why did Berkey said it as well? Why don't players go to the clubs like Ashton and prepare to go to lower division clubs? And I'm being open and honest here with you. I think it sometimes comes down to quality of pitch and quality of facilities, and Ashton have recognised that, and they're going to do a lot of work on that ground to make it up to a good quality standard of ground, because a lot of players look at the ground that they go to, that they play at week in, week out. I think I actually am suited to this. As far as FC United are concerned, the ambition is to play some good attractive quality football, play within budget, have supporters watching and enjoying football again. And also a challenge, which no question challenge for the league. But the one thing we have to remember is that to get back into the National League North is a big step, because financially, again, the burden, as it's been shown with FC four seasons in division and other clubs as well, it is a big struggle. I think FC United, if we have a good season this year, they'll be looking at. No question, Neil Reynolds is looking at promotion through the playoffs or winning a division. He knows how strong it is. Yeah. We know there's a lot of clubs that have come up that'll have a little bit of money as well. So I think that's the ambition.
Okay.
The reality may be something different. We don't know yet. We have to see, because it's a tough, tough league, and there's some big clubs in there with money, and there's some teams with ambition, and there's teams come up as well that want to show their muscles financially as well.
Don't jump the gun. We'll come back to those sides in a second.
I'm turning you down.
I've not done that. We've been recording now for 40 minutes, and I've not turned him down once.
No,
I think
everyone. Vouch for that.
Yes, Berkey, you got points, right?
One, I think, salient point about what FC United have done so far in announcing all these names is that they've beaten a lot of other teams to the gun. We know that, but there's going to be six teams in Greater Manchester playing in the same division, all fighting for the same pool of players, really. Even going a little bit beyond that, maybe to Buxton as well, I suppose. Nantwich, maybe. So it's going to be
With Neil Reynolds, is it more just a case of them dragging players from the M65 corridor rather than the M61?
Maybe so. I mean, you look at Witten, they tend to get the players from Liverpool, so they're kind of out of the equation while Cal McCauley's there.
Yeah.
But, there's basically going to be a lot of players.
Let's not forget all these
in demand.
Colin Bay have already released the majority of their players who were from the Manchester Liverpool, so there's a bigger pool available there next year too.
Yeah, what's
so
a
like the most Asim Holland, for example.
Yeah, it's a seller's market at the moment for him. So.
I think we'll draw a line under part one there, because that was a good chatter about the teams who were finished up at the top end of the MPL and have been relegated into the MPL from above. But in the second part, when we come back after this advert, we're going to be discussing the teams who didn't even make the top half of the table.
Hyde.
Ooh, Hyde did.
And
the top half.
And
shot fired, wasn't it,
like? And Witten.
Oh, two shots fired.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show for the month of June, May. What month is this? It's the end of
holidays.
Season review of the 2018-19 season. It's party time here at the Heat and Hops as Berkey's brought down some port scratchings. And
any signings to announce, Berkey?
Oh yeah, that'll get the party started. Anything, what's going on at Hyde?
Well, there was no gossip upstairs.
Not upstairs.
So. I don't know.
That is disappointing. Hyde, though, joking aside.
Yes.
What are we expecting from Hyde next season?
Honestly, I really don't know.
Thanks. Witten Albion. What are we expecting from Witten Albion? We have got a lot to get through in all fairness.
Quickly, I think if they repeat what they've done this season, they'll be ecstatic. I think we're just talking off air. With the teams that are coming in, the way in which some of the other teams are going to go for it again, I just don't think it's realistic at the moment for Witten to mount a challenge for the playoffs. That's not me being pessimistic. If they can do roughly what they've done this season, that would be a great return.
Swampe, I'll come to you for this next team, because I know listeners of the Northern Premier League show might not be aware of this, but on the FC United forum, and the first sign of relegation, the first sniff of relegation, the first team mentioned as... Well, it could be worse. We get to go to Whitby next season. Whitby, Whitby, Whitby. Everyone's excited about Whitby. Are you excited about Whitby, Swamper?
I'd be more excited if you have to go there on the team bus at on a December evening on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to sort this out on air now, Swamper. Bear with me. James, can we have a Saturday game in August, please, at Whitby? Could that be arranged? Thanks, mate. I'll leave it with you. Back to you, Swamper.
Well, as Ben is, as I already know, that FC United will be at least travelling to one midweek game in the northeast of England. That's not quite the northeast of England, but it could be one of those games. No, listen, Whitby Town, again, they're a team that at some stage, you know, they're going to have to put a promotion push in there. And why can't it be next season? They've got everything there that they need. Lovely ground, great people, a good support as well. And, you know, they finished just shy of 50 points this season.
Swampy, do you think it's possible for a team like Whitby, like Witten Albion and Hyde United, all three sides have got a lot of stability behind the scenes with their managers and coaches, staff and all that kind of thing. Have they got what it takes, really, to break into that top half of the table with all the teams that we talked about in part one?
Well, they're in the top half.
I mean the proper top half. There's degrees of top half, isn't there? I mean the top third. There you go, the top third.
I don't see any reason why not. They've got good managers. They've got decent squads that they finish the season with. It will depend who they bring in. They'll all want to strengthen. And there's no reason why any of those three teams that you've mentioned there can't be there or thereabouts, because, as I say, you know, Nantwich and Buxton weren't necessarily fancy to be in the top five or six. Now there were games, but perhaps certainly Basford weren't. I'd like to be controversial.
You like to be wrong.
Right, yeah, Ben, with Whitby, they've got a huge geographical disadvantage. They just don't have a player pool anywhere near them.
We have talked about it before. I think on those three clubs, you use the word stability, it may sound quite dull, but I actually think all three of them probably have made their best signings already by keeping their managers.
Okay. What about the teams in the lower half then who did disappoint last season, starting off really with Stafford Rangers. They did get it together though when the second half of the season, definitely something to build upon, because Stafford are a big club.
They are, but are they finding their level again now? They've been 14th and 13th in the past two seasons. Now I know there's kind of been a little bit of fluctuation to reach those points. You're right that Stafford are a big club, but they are not, you know, they're kind of, is this their new park, kind of middle of the Northern Premier League, Premier Division? I don't know the answer to that, but it's interesting that that seems to be where they're plateauing at the moment, which I'm sure they're more ambitious than that, but it's where they are.
Let's talk about Lancaster then.
Yeah, they did well, didn't they, in the end? They had that terrible, terrible start, and they were nailed on, absolutely.
But Mark Feldon,
nailed on.
Mark Feldon's an incredible job.
And outside Shaq, the manager of the year?
Tell you what,
or the manager of the year,
perhaps. Yeah, he's done absolutely brilliant. He had his doubters, me included.
I thought we'd given that award to Dave Cook.
I gave it to Dave Cook.
But we all agreed.
Okay, but I think he's got to be Mark. For what? They had 4 points.
Incredible, incredible job. How he's turned that around. It'll be really interesting to see how they do next season. I don't see him getting much higher than 12th. But if they can break into the top half properly, then. Fair play, absolute fair play.
Swampair. It's one team who had a very disappointing first half of, well, first third, the season was Matlock. Then they had a sensational second third. Then the final third wasn't so good. Now Steve Kitchick's at Matlock. What do you expect from them next year?
Well, they've just lost Craig King out for a season with a cruciate ligament injury, so that is a massive blow. 29 years of age, one of the best players in the division, and that's going to be a major, major problem. And I've also just lost Chris Boulder, who has only been there about, I don't know, maybe a week or two. And he's gone back to the newly reformed, and congratulations to them, with Les Hart, to the newly reformed North Ferriby United. So there's been two big blows before pre-season. Kitchick, we know, is a man who likes and wants to get his teams promoted. He did very well with Scarborough. He's probably still smarting probably from that, and he'll want to try and prove a point at Matlock, but it's going to be difficult for him because he's just lost his star player and he's also lost his assistant manager.
But he's got the wherewithal to work around that, hasn't he, and bring people in. If anyone can, he can.
He does, and again, his catchment area, as you say, when you compare it to the likes of Whitby, is quite a large one, where he's got, you know, the guys over in the Midlands and Staffordshire he can maybe look upon. So it'll be interesting. Matlock will be a team in progress this season, I would have thought. It'll all depend upon the players he brings in and the money he's got to spend, in fairness, I think, with Kitchick.
Yeah.
But I can see he'll be a very good value, as always, in Coventry.
What about Bamber Bridge?
They're a good quality footballing team. Played some excellent football last season. We're at a stage where we thought that they were going to be in a position where they were going to be in the relegation zone. And obviously a big upheaval losing Neil Reynolds and losing their captain in Michael Potts and a couple of other players as well. But they've proved that they've come out of that. They've got a little bit of gall about them. They've worked hard to get themselves out of a situation that could have very easily meant them being in a lower division. So next season, I think, look at bringing a few new players in there. And I think they're going to be, again, a team that possibly will look just to consolidate themselves firmly in a mid-table to higher table position, because let's not forget it was only a season before this season finished that they were promoted, so they're a new team to this division again.
Yeah.
And they'll be looking for stability and some good football, and you always have that on offer at Bamber Bridge.
Berkey, I'll come to you for this next bit, because Stalybridge Celtic.
Yes, Stalybridge.
I'll come to you, Simo, for this next bit.
Come to me.
Burke. Yes, Stalybridge Celtic. They've got to do better, haven't they, for next season?
Yeah, of course they have, Ben. They managed it, didn't they? Just about on the last day of the season, that 1-0 win on the final day, which somehow lifted them up to 17th.
Yeah, they were safe on the last day, but again, the results. They were in one of the big fights.
They couldn't have been safe.
No,
though.
If they'd have lost, they'd have gone down.
There was a combination of results that could have sent them down.
Yeah, but again,
as unlikely as it might have been.
Obviously, that's got certain ways, but even still, I agree with what you're saying there. They do have to perform a lot better next season. But with the likes they've got available, they've got a lot of competition. Again, the competition for players is going to be a lot tougher for them. Even if they've got a fantastic ground like Bower Fold. likes of FC, the teams coming up. I mean, it's going
to
be.
They need to be careful not to become the new Marine, and what I mean by that is kind of lingering and lingering, and eventually your luck runs out, and you've had two seasons of real, real struggle on the field.
Well, four.
At this level. Really.
At this level.
Well, sorry, it's coming down. Sorry, yeah, but yeah, you're right, in a wider context.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to go over to Brussels for the next bit of the show and discuss Grantham Town.
They were in downfall, weren't they? And then they had a tremendous hurrah, and they finished where they rightfully finished. And I can't see anything being a great deal of difference really between them. The league is so tough. The new teams coming in are good quality teams. Those promoted are those relegated, and the likes of Grantham are going to have to set the stall out very, very quickly. They're going to have to get points on the board. And if they don't, they'll be one of the few teams that are struggling. And again, I mean, we're just second guessing. We don't know the ins and outs yet.
Clubs don't announce their signings in May, and that really puts us on the back foot.
They announced theirs 2 hours before kickoff on the opening day last season.
Well, that's the whole point. We were predicting at the start of last season just gone.
You got grief for it. I remember.
Yeah, well, I was pretty much right.
He's right. You know. He was right, though.
Well, not that right, because they didn't get relegated in the end, but they were well within a whisker, weren't they?
Of course, this could all be academic, this discussion we're having here, because Grantham, I've not mentioned Hensford for a reason. We don't know the alignment, what it's going to be for the Central League, but there's a good chance it could be Grantham, it could be Hensford, it could be someone else.
Yeah, obviously, Grantham and Hensford are the two most southern sides in theory at this moment in time, but again, FA theory is...
There is going to be one lateral
movement. Yeah, there will have to be one.
You know, it's not an uneducated guess to say that it's almost a toss-up between those two.
Just a mention for Michelover Sports as well, The Great Escape. Pleasure interviewing John McGrath after that. commiserations to Marine, but Michelover Sports, they did it, but only just.
By the skin of their... Yeah, what the circumstances though in the final game of the season. They did it with real drama.
That's 15 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unbelievable drama. It's what you want on the final day's forge, kind of swings of momentum like that. I think it's going to be another season of struggle for them, though. They've already lost one of their best players, Lewis King, the goalkeeper, outstanding for them last season, has signed for Stafford. So it's kind of an indicator it's going to be another long, hard summer for John McGrath as he puts another new team together. But, they did great to survive.
The thing is, the young players, I remember they had that peculiar mix, I suppose, of really, really old stages and really, really young kids. The young kids are going to be that year older.
Yes.
Now. The old stages, they've got to have lost another yard, you know, so they've got to get rid of the old fellas. And
apart from John, of course.
Anyway,
we like John.
We love John.
Always is a good interview.
Anyway, should we end part two there, or should we talk about the promotees?
We should say good luck to Marine.
Let's wish it best of luck to Marine and to Workington. And obviously, as Swampy alluded to earlier, North Ferriby too.
Obviously, two huge names there. I think we said last time as well, two huge non-league names at step four.
Absolutely,
this season.
Yeah.
And as well, both going into what could be an arguably tough division next year as well in the step four league.
Well, we'll go to step four in part three and we'll discuss the promoted sides and what we can hope from them. But is there anyone in that lower half? Just a quick prediction. Who is the most likely in that lower half? And when I mean lower half, I mean lower half, not lower third. Who can push?
Break through
and push towards the playoffs. Well, not in the playoffs, but definitely contenders in February match time. Berkey, you first.
If we keep hold of them, Hensford.
Yeah, they finished the season really well. Saw them play at Windsor Park in the final day of the season, and they were excellent. Played really good football as well under Gary Haywood. They've kept Kieran Wells already, haven't they? Saw them put out the East. You know, if they can keep together, you know, most of the side that I saw that day, they were really impressive.
Would they impressive. Be wise to want to stay in the Northern Premier League, or do you think they want to stay in the Central League, given how well Stourbridge and Kettering got on last year?
Stourbridge had done very well for a few seasons on the trot, and Hensford have been stuttering. I'm not sure it makes too much difference.
Looking at Stourbridge towards the end, they just went from playoffs, title contenders, playoffs, on the edge, 12th in the last season.
Let's put it this way, could Alvechurch have made the playoff final?
Fair point.
No, in the MPL. I don't think they would have done this.
No disrespect to the Central League, but
no.
Our league's better. Anyway, back to this. Who can break in from the lower half towards the playoff positions?
let's see who people sign in the summer first.
You absolute cop-out.
The main thing to think of at the same time is, with Arsley gone, there's a huge gap in, like, between Manchester sides and the North East, because you've got no West Yorkshire, no South Yorkshire, and no teams in Hull. So there's going to be a huge pool of players there.
You know what?
You want to play at step three.
He's lock on Hyde.
He's right. There's no Yorkshire teams.
Well, that's the thing.
Other than Whitby's Scarborough.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. But
we know Hyde's...
You're now the Yorkshire team.
Yeah,
you're now, Hyde United is now West Yorkshire, because, you know, it's all the same with league realignments. That's the way it goes. Yeah. We've lost Farsley, so you're the new Leeds club. Yeah. Welcome.
Hey, Gavin.
I think Berkey hit the nail on the head, in fairness. If Hennesford stay up in this division, or stay within this division, they would be the team for me that you'd be looking to make inroads into the top half of the table.
Swampy, is there a chance for Stafford Rangers?
Of course, yeah. I mean, again, they're a club that have been in a decline over a number of years, unfortunately. They've seen better days. Can they get them back? They've got a lovely ground again, and, you know, they've had some big managers there, and they've not been able to succeed. So it's a tall order there. There's quite a lot of expectation in Stafford, and let's hope that possibly, I mean, you know, they could and have all the qualities to be able to do so, but they've not proved that in the last three or four seasons, really.
Well, there are three more teams joining the division, and we'll be covering them off, strangely, in part three. But that's the end of part two. You can all go to your kitchens, get a cup of tea, but you've only got 30 seconds, because it's a quick advert, and then we'll be back to discuss the promoted sides into step three, as well as step four more generally.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for the month of May, April and June. It's the last show of the series, and around the table for one last hurrah for the 2018-19 season. Andrew Simpson's here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, range of newspapers.
Are we going to get another series?
Yes.
Good. yes. Berkey's here from 26-0.
Hiya, Ben.
James Hayes is here from the league.
Evening.
And down the other end of the phone, in the European Union, in the belly of the beast, it's Swampe. Hello, Swampe.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good bonjour, monsieur.
Good. Right, just before we move on to step four and what we can expect next season, just a mention for the three sides you've been promoted, stroke four. Firstly, Morpeth Town have been sensational. What can we expect? I'll come to our North East correspondent.
I went to Morpeth the other week.
What bus was it?
It was on the X18 from Berwick to Newcastle.
Sometimes I wish there was a volume button for you, Berkey, as well. Anyway.
No, they've got, outside the Morrisons in the middle of town, a soapy fountain. I've never seen anything like it, yeah.
What, like a foam party?
No, it's like a fountain, but soapy. It has of... just bits of foam kicking up because they've not cleaned it properly.
Oh, it's not like a proper thing. It's like an accidental.
Yeah.
Attraction.
How difficult would it be to get to all the away games on bus next season?
Well, you'd have to do some of them in 2 days.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't get from Manchester to Morpeth in a day.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Well, Swampy, you're our North East expert.
Actually.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
Sorry. Have you just been demoted live?
Sorry. You actually could get to Morpeth in a day. What you'd have to do is you'd go from Manchester to Bolton on the 125 up to Lancaster, then you'd get the 555 from Lancaster, to Preston. You go from Preston to Lancaster yeah. to Carlisle, Keswick on the 555, then the 554 up to Carlisle, then across on, I think it's a 685 from Carlisle to Newcastle, and then the X18 up to Morpeth. You'd miss kickoff.
That wasn't my question. Was you? You'd get there. Thing is, we have no idea whether that's true or not. He could have just. We don't know.
There'll be one listener at home on Wikipedia right now, checking all that out.
Swampy,
what's the chances for Morpeth? Not for travelling on the bus. I mean, the actual chances for them on the field next season. Do you feel?
Well, the National Express is probably the quickest way to get there.
Answer the question.
They don't count as local buses.
They're a club on the up again. We've seen what the likes of Spennymoor have done. We've seen what Blyth have done. We've seen what South Shields have been capable of doing. Is it one step too much for Morpeth so early in their progression. I'm not quite sure that they. I mean, I heard someone ask a genuine question about you know, transport and so on and so forth. They worked out of their budget last season. I think it worked out 25,000 miles they were going to travel during the whole season, and they actually budgeted for that, and they had the right kind of sponsorship around them. They're a club that want to progress. It'll be a club that everyone will love going to, and everyone that goes up there, every single supporter will be made welcome. But they'll also be made welcome, and they'll also find that actually Morpeth play some very, very good football as well. And they are champions for a reason.
So you reckon Morpeth will be pushing towards the top half of the table next season, Swamper?
I'm not saying they will or they won't, to be honest. I think they'll have a good go of it. I think we'll see some good football from them, and I think they'll be entertaining, and as I say, we'll enjoy going up there.
So only one team coming out of Division East, James. Brighouse. At time of recording anyway, there's still question marks over one side above them, a couple of divisions above. But generally they're not coming up, which is...
No.
I mean, I can hear Swampy say it's a travesty right now, but...
Yeah, I mean, they were... Congratulations for winning the playoffs. However, they went into the final day knowing that, into the playoff final, knowing that they couldn't be promoted.
Still spanked Pontefract.
They went into that game. Everyone expects him just to roll over again. People at Radcliffe, because Radcliffe were in that position at the same time as well. Are they just going to roll over and let Pontefract get promotion? No, they went for it, and they've shown what they can do. It's a hard one to say because again,
when's the cut-off?
The cut-off is when the AGMs take place. Yeah. So as soon as the league's AGM is over...
Is that June?
The lower league's one's on June the 15th, but right. The national league's before ours. So basically, as soon as the national league have theirs, that's
okay.
Isn't there any kind of new understanding now that that's the AGMs are now the genuine line in the sand? So if anything happens after that, teams will run with fewer... leagues will run with fewer teams. So, no one's going to get moved after AGMs.
So what you're saying, Simo, is there's no point announcing any new signings until after the AGMs. That's pretty much what you just said there.
I do believe that.
At the same time, even with questions of in one club in particular, which...
We're not going to name names.
Yeah. Even if that happened, a second club then, which is... highly unlikely at this moment in time.
Okay.
So, look, if you look at the video from the playoff celebrations, they celebrated like they were going
on. It's a moral victory.
It is.
And did they win a trophy?
Yes, they did.
There you
Pyrrhic victory.
I'll actually, I'm just on that alone.
So, did they kick on next season then? They've got the impetus where Warrington maybe haven't.
What about the two teams out of Division West? Because two teams did come up. Atherton Coles.
Yeah, they've had an absolutely phenomenal season. They really, really
phenomenal
have.
Phenomenal 2 years, really. 3 years.
Three years. It's since Cleggie took over 4 or 5 years ago. They've been on the up and up ever since. And it just doesn't look like stopping. It will stop this next season. It's bound to. They're not going to get promoted next year. And I think even the most black and white striped Atherton Coles fan out there, i.e., Gibbo and
well, I was
going
to say Gibbo obviously has the technology know-how to take an audio snippet of what you just said Birke, put it on his desktop ready for May next year and go pow rather than
I don't think that right. You look at teams who are in a similar situation from where they've come from. So you look at Ramsbottom United, for the sake of argument. They came storming through the divisions on the back of a very, very good team which stuck together for 3, 4, 5 seasons, the bulk of them anyway, and they had the manager there in Bernard and Jono. It's been very, very similar situation at Atherton Coles. Cleggie's been leading the line there with the nucleus of the same team that took them up from step 6 basically, and at some point they're going to run into a bit of a wall there. They're bound to. And it could be because their best players all get swooped up, or it could be because the manager goes, or it could be any number of factors. But unless a team has got an absolute mountain of money behind them, this is kind of like the end of the road for getting promoted every other season. You know, it's gonna.
That's how Shields proved.
Exactly. It's just like it's very, very tough from now on, and. I tell you what, they've done brilliant to get where they are. They really have, and I don't sound like I'm patting them on the head because I'm not. They've done brilliantly, and it's just.
Do you think it might surprise a few people because they're going to be very much an unknown for a lot of the clubs at this level. So they do have that element of surprise, which sometimes we see newly promoted teams use, certainly in year one, use to their advantage.
Well, Rami certainly did.
Yeah, so
they
do you think
promoted,
they can use that?
Yeah, they will do. They've got a very, very good team. They're fast. They move the ball about quickly. They've got a certain way that they like to play, i.e. try and keep it on the deck, but their pitch doesn't allow it necessarily because it's rutted,
it's got a massive slope
on it, exactly. And so they play that pitch to their advantage.
Yeah.
Their home record's been phenomenal the entire way through this last few seasons.
Swampet, we'll come to you for the next bit because there's no point going to James because he's going to be insufferable, isn't it? Radcliffe.
Yeah, I think you're best going to James.
Radcliffe?
Here he is.
Relegated. In all fairness, I just want to echo the words that Berkey mentioned about Atherton. I think they have done tremendously well. They've got a very good manager. They've got a good quality footballing team. This will be the pinnacle for them unless, as you rightly say, lots of money, new ground, new facilities, and let them enjoy the Northern Premier. Let them become a persistent Northern Premier League team. You know that they're in the division for many years to come because they deserve it. And it's absolutely superb what they've done this season. When it comes to Radcliffe, I think have got a little bit more money, a little bit more understanding of this division. I think as a football club, they've done tremendously well. They have this season, I think, if the truth be known, in my opinion, brought players in that are actually maybe one, two divisions above where they were or should have been playing. But that's testament to the manager. He's brought them in and he's got the best out of them. Can they keep all those players this season? Perhaps they can. It will be an investment in new players. Perhaps they will. I think Radcliffe this year is a year of consolidation. And I think they'll be looking just to stay up. I think it's been a long time for Radcliffe to be where they are. They've been relegated or they've been in the lower half of the table for a number of seasons. And, you know, what the management duo have done at the football club is testament to them. And also the belief that the chairman and the board have got in them, because obviously they have thrown money at this division this season. And they'll be looking maybe for a little bit more next season. But equally, if they can play the quality of football and keep the likes of Ben Walton and the likes of him, then they'll be OK. But I think it's a season that both clubs can be very happy to where they've got and enjoy the season. Don't get relegated, enjoy the season and just do it from there, go from there. And you never know what happens.
I think the lesson from this is that all teams should get rid of the suffixes from the names. Radcliffe Borough to Radcliffe FC, get promoted. Hyde United to Hyde FC, get promoted. Witten should get rid of the Albion and become Witten FC.
Okay, I'll suggest it.
So there you go.
When it comes to step four, we've had East and West.
Yep.
We've had North and South before that.
This pint's called North and South. Yeah.
who's likely do you think to get out of step four? I mean, there's a few good teams coming up, and next week we should say that this isn't the final show of the series. I'm doing one on my own next week.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
I'm leaving.
You want me in my pub again?
So are we.
Yeah. That's fine. Enjoy the North West County show. Anyway, right, just to say the next week we'll be doing that show we did last year where we interviewed some of the new clubs coming up. So we're going to try and get hold of Dunstan UTS. We're also going to get hold of City of Liverpool. Ilkeston Town.
Are they back
in the room.
Back again.
Back in the room. Congratulations to them. Also back, Worksop Town.
You're oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like NPL show gold.
I know, isn't it? Aaron Flanagan. Yeah. He's going to be tuning in going, oh, it's just like 2012, isn't it?
Man. Have you got an issue with James,
Matt? Can we get McKenna?
Let's get McKenna on. And,
Oh, yeah, that's a shout.
So we'll catch up with those clubs, and I'm going to get a full list from James of the clubs from Step 5 who will be joining us. Dunstan UTS, looking forward to them joining the division.
Again, the North East is, for the first time, flexing its muscle. They've actually come out of their shell, i.e. they've got out of the Northern League, and they're showing that they're capable of doing well. And it won't surprise me in the next three or four seasons, you'll see more and more North East teams.
Swampy, just while we've got you on, we might as well talk about City of Liverpool as well, because they're a club right up your street, and they're joining the division as well. And they've got a derby with Marine to come.
Oh, that's going to be tasty, isn't it?
Subject to league realignment, of course.
They took the blue of Everton and the red of Liverpool and merged and playing purple.
They didn't.
And
they took the core of the council bins.
The bins, yeah.
Which comes from the Liverpool and Everton. I always thought the class of 92 missed a trick and not let Salford City play in pink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for my input. I'm going to go home now.
What?
We've just got rid of him.
Oh, is there a dummy emoji on here? Anyway.
Have you heard hashtag Bants coming out of the swamp?
Let's not forget about with City Liverpool.
It is hashtag Bants, isn't it?
Let's not forget with City Liverpool. There's five new Liverpool sides in that division next year, potentially. Prescott, Widnes.
Widnes aren't Liverpool.
They're
not even Merseyside.
Come the geography podcast.
I'm not having Prescott v Marine as a derby.
Nor would I. But Marine City Liverpool, that's a derby.
What about Ilkeston as well coming back just before we go? That's quite a
lovely
a good
club.
Story.
Well, great club in the past, done tremendously well. Major problems. They obviously imploded. They brought two or three good players that are all playing now in the Football League or the Premier League and done superbly well. Can they do that again? Who knows?
And Worksop's back as well. That's good.
Last time we were in that division, Worksop were in division, they finished third.
Just before we go, a quick run round the table just for your highlight of the 2018-19 season. Based on a couple of faces round the table, I'll come to you first, Swampy, for this. What's been your highlight of the NPL this season?
Not watching it.
It's got to be this podcast, hasn't it?
Simo, your highlight of the season just gone.
I'm going to say my highlight is Nantwich.
In general.
Just what they've done, what they've achieved, how they've gone about it.
Birke?
My favourite game of the season was Hyde United beating South Shields 4-0, 4-1.
Is that because I was there?
Oh, you were there, weren't you? Yes. That was an absolutely...
That Nicky Platt goal.
Mint game, that.
Very good, wasn't it?
It was absolutely brilliant, Ben. So, yeah, I'd probably have that. And also, of course, beating Staley Bridge on the last day of the season.
And, James, you're without saying the obvious.
Not saying the obvious, obviously, but the 3.6 million you that tuned in for the playoffs across the 10 stations, social media, the podcast, Super Final, TS Media, the lot.
Did we have 3 million downloads, though, last month?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it didn't translate to downloads for the podcast. Yeah. And just before we go, just Swampy's highlights of the Northern Premier League season just gone.
For me, I think it has to be Atherton Collieries. Absolutely outstanding. And I think also Morpeth as well, doing really well to get into the division. I know that they're coming into the division, but I thought actually superb for them as well. Those two teams, but primarily Atherton Collieries. And I'm looking forward to any team that plays against this season and looks at the undulating 18th hole they have on the left-hand side of the ground. And you think the ball's going, and it's not, and then it carries on another 34. Augusta could have actually used that in the golf tournament. And also my highlight would have been, if it had been this season, Berkey pulling his hamstring, climbing over a stool at Atherton.
I really did. There's a Tuesday night game, Plumper.
Anyway, that's the end of our monthly review show for the 2018-19 season. It's been an absolute pleasure having you all listen. And it's been my highlight. It's this show right now.
Oh, man.
It's this show right now. Surrounded by friends and Swampy down the phone. Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian, a big thank you for joining us all season.
No worries, I've really enjoyed it.
Berkey, thank you for joining us and using us as some kind of sedative, much appreciated.
Thank you, Ben, I've also really enjoyed it.
James Hayes, thank you for all your tweets and stuff.
I enjoy the abuse I get over the summer.
And Swampy, enjoy the European elections and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and also I'd like to thank all the listeners of the NPL show that have paid for my flights back to the UK when I've done the show back at Heaton Hops.
Oh, we haven't mentioned the Heaton Hops.
I was about to. Well, Damien's not here because Bradford Bulls won some match at the weekend against Leeds.
He's partying still.
Do you think a bull would beat a rhino in an actual fight? Because I think a rhino would have a bull.
Bulls are pretty hard.
They are, but rhinos are even harder.
A big thank you as well to the Heat and Hops and to Damien in particular. Heatandhops.co.uk, yes. The website to go to.
Their fourth birthday recently.
Their big happy birthday to the Heat and Hops. And we'll be back here in August for the season preview. We'll be back next week with our Step 5 promotee special. But from everyone here at the Heat and Hop, a big thank you for joining us. And you have a lovely summer, dear listener. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the cricket.
And rugby league.
And the rugby league.
Yeah, and Croke.
And the Crown Green Bowl.
Yeah.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.